Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 19th year. This podcast is sponsored by ICE Barcelona, January 20th through 22nd, 2025, at the Fira Barcelona Gran Via. ICE Barcelona is the complete platform to drive revenues through innovative solutions, technology, valuable insights, and unrivaled networking opportunities. To learn more, visit icegaming.com.
Evan, thank you so much for joining me today. It is Wednesday here at G2E 2024. We're three quarters of the way through, well, not fully three quarters of the way through. I don't know, we're at like 60% or something along there. But this is around the time when stuff starts to get real, you know what I mean?
You really
start to dig in. You know, it's the third morning. I was joking with everybody. I've successfully managed to stave off the wall up until this morning, and then I fully hit it this morning. So we're rising from the dead a little bit here.
Absolutely. But you know, I really appreciate you having me on.
Of course. So usually when I do these interviews, I like to start with the guest and kind of get a little bit of background on you and kind of, you know, how'd you get to this point? So I'm sure there's probably a lot of stops along the way, a lot of chapters, but could you just give a little background of your career thus far and kind of how you got to this point?
Yeah, sure. So listen, I've actually been involved in lots of different technology, everything from, you know, the early days of Wi-Fi to broadband to streaming media, even, you know, video phones. So I've spent 30 plus years basically in product management and applying it across all different industries, everything from telecommunications to retail to even EV charging and now even gaming. And so some people are asking in terms of, you know, well, what do you know in terms about payments or anything else? And the reality is in terms of what I've been doing actually with most of my career has been in product management. And it's been studying around the problem of why do people adopt technology or what are some of the challenges with adopting technology. And so that's been kind of, I'll say, my lifelong study.
Gotcha.
But it's definitely been all different types of technology and all different types of industries.
You know, it's interesting because I feel like I find myself saying this with the people from the payment sector, maybe more so than any other portion of the industry right now. I think it's fascinating because I think that that sector has probably the most diverse people in terms of experience. Like you just said, you have a vast array of different, and you know, a lot of these payment companies too, like gaming is just a part of what they do, and they have this whole other ecosystem of, you know, all these other industries. So I think it's kind of interesting because, you know, as a trade publication, you know, we talk a lot about suppliers, we talk a lot about operators, people who are really like singularly focused on this industry, and I really like the payment sector in the sense of, like I said, it has a little bit more of a broad perspective. I think that's important in kind of today's sector. Oh, we got a little bit of a feedback there. I'll have to edit that one out. But anyway, yeah, I think it's interesting, and you know, your experience definitely ties into that as well. So you said you said before we came on that you've been at Crane for about 3 years now or 2 years?
I've actually been for about 2 years.
Okay.
But you know, predominantly I've been, you know, working mostly in the gaming industry, and studying the problem around, you know, cashless. And you know, the exciting thing about the gaming industry is that, you know, at the end of the day, technology actually moves pretty slow.
Exactly. Yeah.
And which is fascinating to me because I come through, you know, from some industries that are very fast moving technology.
Yeah.
And so it really fascinated me about why. What's the problem?
Yeah.
And yes, there's regulations and everything else, but there's a lot of rituals and consumer behaviors, you know, tied up into the whole experience around gaming. And especially when the really interesting thing, especially when you get to cashless, is consumers actually go to retail, they go to restaurants, they go to those different things within casinos. And they're used to a tap and go type of experience. But when they get to the games, it's about cash, it's about Tito tickets, and it's not very technologically advanced. The games keep advancing, and yet the method to how do you play the games do not. And so this was an interesting problem. So we spent, you know, 2 years, and I've sat down with many different casinos across all different types of, you know, people, and asking the basic question of, like, you know, so what's happening, or why is technology not, you know, moving forward? And so it's been a very interesting conversation and a journey along the lines. But I think the industry's come a long way, and I think people are ready for cashless.
I think you hit the nail on the head, honestly. This has been a huge, so I came into this role about 3 years ago, and ever since, from the moment I came in, actually, ironically enough, one of the first meetings I ever had was with the cashless company at the time, and it's fascinating to continue that conversation over that time, and I think you hit it right on the head, and I think it illustrates one of the biggest problems, in the sense that, you know, the analogy I always use is like this industry is like turning around a cruise ship, right?
Totally.
We are probably, I mean, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but we are probably the singular most cash reliant industry left probably on Earth at this point. Like you said, that's coupled with the fact that consumers are used to those type of seamless, that's a word that is frequently used, seamless. Not a lot of friction in terms of transferring money, you know, funds, wallets, everything like that. It is instantaneous in basically every other industry that we interact with except for gaming, and yet that still remains a huge challenge. And so I guess that kind of leads me to my next question is, like, I feel as though the narrative has shifted in the last few years from when I first started. It was nothing but optimism. We were coming right off of COVID lockdowns, and it was like, seemed as if it was a sure thing that cashless would hit the ground running. And it has in certain respects, but obviously if you ask stakeholders and everyone involved, probably not to the level that they would have expected or desired. So with that context, where do you see, in terms of, as we go into 2025, where do you see that conversation shifting? Do you think it kind of remains, do you think the level of optimism is still high, or do you think it's kind of shifted to more of like a pressure scenario where it's like, we have to start to make progress and really get this moving? Kind of, where do you see that
going? Yeah, so it's a great question. So actually I did a presentation here, you know, yesterday.
Sure.
And we talked a little bit about this, which basically is, you know, we keep saying this, and it's very intuitive to people that the cashless economy is here.
Yeah.
But let me just share a couple of facts.
Sure.
That are going out there today. So the Federal Reserve puts out actually a report, and they show that 18% of basically of all transactions,
wow,
is still cash.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And what that is basically is your trip to the, you know, convenience store.
Yep.
It's, you know, maybe trips to, let's say, fast food. Basically transactions under $25.
Okay.
$25.
Yeah.
Now, 82%, that's the transactions left over, it's all basically digital.
Wow.
And every time a industry has moved into digitals, their actually lift in their sales has gone up anywhere from 2 to 3x.
Yeah.
And we see this consistently because our history around Crane Payment Innovations is basically, we are very much developed equipment around cash and even notes handling.
Sure.
And so we see, like, you know, vending, which traditionally has been that type of a business, every time these operators converted over, they've seen a 3x lift in their business.
Wow.
And why is that? Well, it's because you're offering consumers a choice, right? When they're at the moment of actually making a purchase, whatever that purchase may be, you're giving them convenience to figure out what's the best for them to actually make that transaction, whether it be cash, debit, credit, all those different vehicles are open to them. And so it makes friction a lot less for them to make that decision. So overall, I think there's really lots of more optimism now, because I think people have seen that the power of what these conversions can happen. I think Eilers just put out a report, University of Nebraska, they didn't implement cashless up till this year.
Wow.
They saw a lift in their business of 3x at their home games.
Yeah.
3x. Once again, it's about convenience. So for me, I think there's a lot of optimism about it, but also too, one of the misconceptions is that it's really hard. I think most of the ways that cashless has been implemented is through the back end, through casino management systems, which that's a hard process to go do. And so what we've worked with a lot of our different cash access partners is to come up a way of actually doing cashless through the bill validator itself. And therefore it makes it much easier and much quicker to implement and get to experience what consumers expect, which is more tap and go.
Interesting. And so that's interesting. So I'm thinking through this now, and I think where that leads me to is, like, if you could pinpoint one hurdle or one roadblock in terms of getting the cashless movement where it wants to go, or in some, I guess some would argue needs to go. Because in my mind, I'm thinking there's a couple ways you could go. I think some people might argue that it is a technology regulation problem, or, you know, the ability to make these products compliant in their, you know, in the regulations and make them easily usable and accessible to patrons. And I think there's also kind of a you're also fighting kind of a not even like it's like a social kind of construct within gaming, which obviously is very cash reliant. It's also very much skewed to the older demographics who have more discretionary income, who may not even be amenable or you know, willing to use those technologies, even if they were available 100% and like easy to use. So I think that's like a two-pronged kind of battle that you're fighting. If you had to pick one side, which do you think is kind of more difficult to overcome, or the one that is most important to overcome? Or, you know, that?
So I think it's changing on both those fronts.
Okay.
And so let me talk about the regulation side a little bit. So the regulation side, definitely. Regulations are always a challenge over there. But the important thing in the way you implement the technology is you try to make sure that you're not changing too much in the systems, because there's a reliance on the systems that are out there today from, you know, auditing perspective and everything else. So the technology that, you know, we've worked at is basically a rise off the back of Tito. Therefore, the amount of change that's happening in the system is quite small. And it's something that's been, look, Tito took 20 years to be fully implemented.
And that's what he's frequently...
There's lots of regulations around it. There's some clear understanding around it. So we're not trying to change, you know, in terms of like a whole new system to put in place. So that's number one. And then the second of it is it about the older demographics? Well, another important stat is that we found in terms of when cashless has been implemented in casinos, that actually the average age is 45.
Wow.
So people were like, interesting, because these are the people that actually have more disposable income, but also too, they're the ones that actually, you know, because of COVID, because of online gaming and mobile, you know, mobile sports betting, has actually improved people's customer knowledge and getting more comfortable with that type of approach. So I think it's definitely changing and getting momentum around both those areas.
Interesting, interesting. So, you know, you touched on the online part of it. That was kind of my next thought, was like, does, you know, as land-based casinos race to implement these technologies that, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, there's a lot of gaming consumers around the country who only have access to online gaming products and do not have access to land-based products. Like, that dichotomy, kind of, how does that factor into this whole kind of giant mix?
Great question. So it's definitely opening up gaming everywhere else. And look, regulations are even changing, like, you know, route markets, where slot machines and everything are, you know, now moving out, you know, outside of casinos. But it's just getting the industry larger. Some of the larger properties and some of the interesting conversations we've got into is that they have some great software to be able to offer the experience off property, but they're trying to get people onto their properties as well. And now they're trying to move not just from the restaurant perspective, but even, you know, more so towards the game. So they want to connect it and create that digital experience with the consumer, a lot closer interaction to it. So I do think there's just some complementary aspects to that. Yes, the industry's growing, but there's still, you know, a greater ecosystem that they want to develop to bring people back to their properties.
Sure. So let's get into Crane a little bit.
Sure.
Kind of in the overall landscape of, you know, the payment sector, kind of where does Crane fit into that, and kind of how are you guys working to solve these problems that we've kind of alluded to?
Yeah, great question. So Crane actually works across many different verticals, everything from retail to vending. We actually manufacture vending machines, but also too, you know, gaming is one of our most important sectors. So obviously Bill Validators is one of our top products that go into everything from kiosks to, you know, slot machines, everything else. But also we're developing the solutions around how do we make it easier for people to manage not just a, you know, cash experience, but also cashless. And so we recognize that, you know, traditionally our company's been around just cash handling, but we need to develop products and help casinos actually, you know, be able to look at both cash and cashless and meet consumers wherever they want to pay. And that's kind of the most important piece of it, is like, you know, we want to help consumers be able to pay whatever method they want to use and provide the solutions that are going to help our customers.
Is there like a number or like a figure as to how big gaming is in Crane's overall business, or?
We don't disclose in terms of, you know, but it is probably one of our most important sectors, you know, within the business. And we've spent, you know, obviously we're big presence here at the G2E show. We work with all the different OEMs and across most of the casinos. So we have a very big footprint. But the other area that we're moving into as well is service.
Sure.
So we have a service team today that looks at, you know, not just from the bill validator perspective, but also even the cash handling. So everything from bill counters, and also to even service things like slot machines and kiosks as well. So it's an important part of our business.
And so I would assume it's safe to say that the company would like gaming to continue to grow and become a bigger part of its business.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So if we look ahead, obviously 2025 is around the corner. What are you guys kind of working on? Anything that you can, I mean, you comment on in terms of future plans,
sure,
anything in the works? Kind of what does the future look like for you?
Sure. So we're starting to actually tie a lot of our equipment together,
sure,
from a service perspective, from, you know, cash counting to cashless to actually, you know, managing the equipment overall. And I think it's really important that, you know, we broaden our portfolio and our scope of what we do. But the big focus for me personally has been around the cashless piece of it, how to make that experience very much like a retail experience, the, you know, tap and go piece of it. So 2025 is actually about, you know, how do we accelerate that? And how do we actually, you know, move the industry more towards, you know, accepting what I think people accept today, which is we are in a cashless economy.
Definitely, definitely. Well, this has been great, Evan. I thank you so much for coming on. I will ask you this quick one to finish because it is the only opportunity that I have. I like to ask people this at the shows, but what is your favorite and least favorite part of coming to Las Vegas?
Oh, you know, when I was flying out here, actually,
sure,
I counted up actually the number of times I've been to Vegas,
sure,
in my head, and I got to 60 pretty quick.
Gotcha, gotcha.
You know, so, you know, I actually was sad actually last night when I actually had stayed at the Tropicana and I saw the Tropicana being imploded. So I'd say that's a sad part of
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah, we're recording the morning after, for people listening later, we're recording this the morning after, or the morning later after the Tropicana implosion.
But I guess my most favorite part is actually, this is a really great show. You get a lot of really quick meetings, you know, with a lot of great customers. So you pack a lot in a week, but it's exhausting, definitely.
Sure. Sure. Well, again, Evan, this has been great. It's been great to
meet
you, chat with you. And like I said, I feel like I say this every time when I have an interview in this part of the industry, but I think cashless still remains one of the most interesting kind of sectors.
Absolutely.
I think it is, you know, any kind of buzzword that you want to throw at it in terms of innovative, disruptive, I think it's all those things. It's just like we said, over the last few years, it's a matter of just putting the product in front of the consumer and making it seamless and frictionless and getting money from one place to the other. Sounds easy, but it's very difficult, as we've seen.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
No, I appreciate your time. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast sponsored by ICE Barcelona, January 20th through 22nd, 2025 at Fira Barcelona Gran Via. ICE Barcelona is the complete platform to drive revenues through innovative solutions, technology, valuable insights, and unrivaled networking opportunities. To learn more, visit icegaming.com. To read more about the topic presented in this week's podcast, visit ggbmagazine.com. To subscribe to GGB's executive summary, go to ggbnews.com and sign up. Don't miss any edition of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Spotify, Amazon, or Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.